Cosby Show. This is Ben Grauer, ladies and gentlemen, greeting you on behalf of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Anita Gordon, Mortimer Snerd, Ursel Twing, and our guest for the evening, Fred Allen. And here's Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Did he say Fred Allen?
That's right, Charlie, he did. Fred says he wants to talk to you. He wants to clear up a matter.
Well,
yes. In his opinion, you have misjudged him.
Yes, well, I respect his judgment as much as if he knew what he was talking about.
Yes. Now, when Allen comes in, I want you to be courteous.
Yes, Mr. Bergen. I'll remove my hat.
That's fine.
And then I'll clip him, so help me, I'll mow him down.
No.
Ray Noble and his orchestra with a selection from the Song of Norway, Strange Music.
Charlie?
Yes?
There's a matter that I want to talk to you about.
Yes, Mr. Bergen. Whatever it is, though, I didn't do it.
No, of course not. No.
And what's more, I've got three witnesses who'll swear they didn't see me do it.
I see. Charlie, what I want to talk to you about is it's a matter that's rather personal.
Well, naturally, yes.
I walked into my bedroom this afternoon and I found that most of my bedding was gone.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Now, regardless of what you say, young man, I'm positive you took it.
Yeah?
Yes. Am I right?
Give this man a 12 silver dollars.
Yeah. Just as I thought.
Yes.
Yes. Now, what did you do with the bedding, Charlie?
Well, I took it to make a bed for Ermitrude and Herkimer.
I see. And who in the world are they?
Well, they're two of my live oysters.
Oysters?
Yeah.
Oysters?
Yes. You know, they have to live in beds, you know.
Yes. What are you doing with two live oysters?
Well, if you must know, I'm now raising pearls.
Oh, I see.
Yes. You're now talking to Bivalve McCarthy.
I see.
The oysterologist.
Yes, of course. Well, that's very interesting.
Well, thank you.
And where did you get these oysters?
Well, you know that seafood cafe around the corner?
Yes. You mean the one with the big tank with the live fish in it in the window?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yes.
Well, you see, I was in there, and now you may not believe this, Bergen. You may not believe it, but the little rascals, those little monkeys, they followed me home.
They followed you home?
Yeah, they did.
You're right, Charlie.
What?
I don't believe it.
Oh, you don't go for it?
I don't go for it, no.
Well, then try this one for size.
No, now, wait a minute.
What I mean is I borrowed them.
You borrowed them?
Yes, let's say that.
I see. You borrowed two oysters.
Yeah. Yeah, I was Yeah.
I see. The man actually loaned them to you, did he?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
All right, so I latched onto them.
Yeah.
Anyway, stop pinning me down.
All right, yeah. Well, that's more like it. I'm ashamed of you, Charlie.
Well, I'm sorry.
Surely you don't want to grow up to be a thief.
On what, may I ask, do you base your information?
Well, now, wait. Oysters.
Yeah.
I'll bet you don't even know what to feed them.
Well, I do. Oyster crackers, of course.
Yeah.
But when they're not looking, I'm going to feed them some string.
String? And why string?
Well, and when they turn out the pearls, they'll be already strung.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I say, did I hear someone mention oysters and pearls?
Yes, Ray. Would you like to invest in my oyster orchard?
Oyster orchard?
Yes. With my brains and your money, what can we lose?
My money, old boy.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
I'll be glad to sell you an interest in my oysters.
Well, to me, Charlie, that sounds like the old shell game.
Yeah.
Shell game. You do see it, don't you?
Yeah.
I believe I concocted a bit of a drollery.
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
I don't think the world is ready for it, frankly. A little bit of you goes a long way, Ray.
Well, after all, old chap, I mean, a joke's a joke.
Not when you tell it.
All right.
Now, will you get out of here?
Oh, right, oh, boy, right. Well, yeah.
He'll be sorry, though, when the pearls start rolling out.
Oh, of course he will.
Yeah.
Now, you talk, though, as though you expect to get pearls right away and lots of them.
Well, why not?
Well, Charlie, don't be silly.
I've already got the mama and the papa oyster. And before long, I'll be hearing the patter of little blue points.
Well, it's plain you haven't studied your biology lessons.
No.
No, oysters are quite different from other forms of life.
Yeah.
Yes. The oddities of nature can be very fascinating.
Yes. Well, not the one you were out with last night.
All right.
Oh, boy. Well, what do you mean I don't know my biology? I don't sort of follow you there.
Well, it's a rather scientific and, I suppose, it's a rather delicate subject to try and explain.
Well, you can try.
Yeah. I don't know whether I should tell you or not.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Thurkin. I can keep a secret. You know me. I don't talk. Come think of it, I ain't kidding. All right.
Well, what I mean, Charlie, is this. Oysters are very changeable. At times, the mother oyster, well, they aren't really mothers.
No?
No.
You mean the stepmothers?
Well, no, no. No, you see, it's like this. To begin with, well, I'll put it another way.
Another way?
Yeah.
Up to now, you haven't put it anyway.
Well, on second thought, I think we better forget the whole thing.
Oh, come on, Bergen, tell me. I want to learn more about the oysters in the raw.
Yeah, all right. Well, what I was trying to say is that oysters never, well, what shall we say, you know, pair off or go together.
Oh, you mean they never get married?
Yeah, you might say that, yeah.
No.
That's right.
Does Luella Parsons know about this? Or...
Now, wait a minute, Charlie. I may have gotten you a little confused here. Perhaps I should have said that...
You've said quite enough, Mr. Bergen. You scandal monger, you.
Oh, now listen, Charlie.
No, please. You disillusioner, you.
Oh, now look.
I was just an innocent child before you started.
Oh, now listen, Charlie. You're raising oysters, aren't you? I thought you'd like to know.
Please, Bergen. Listen, Charlie. No, please. It's nothing you can say now.
Charlie.
No.
You've destroyed something fine in me. Oh, yeah.
You better go, old man. You better go. Just go.
All right.
Can never come true. Seems as though I'll ever be blue.
Blooming for happiness. Blue, will I answer yes?
Blue, well, you ought to guess who.
Blue, no one but you.
Well, you ought to guess who.
Who? No one. No one. No one but you.
Mr. Bergen?
Well, hello, Mortimer.
Hello?
Yes. Well, I see. You've been taking pictures.
Yep. I've been snap shooting New York.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Is that a brownie?
Hmm?
I say, is that a brownie?
No, it's a camera.
Yeah, I know it's a camera.
I need Dumbo.
I suppose you know that getting the right exposure is very important.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you have a light meter?
What?
I say, do you have a light meter?
A light meter? Yeah. No. I don't even have a dark meter. Oh, I don't even have a dark.
Well, what do you do on a cloudy day?
Well, wear my rubbers.
Oh, I see. Well, how many pictures have you taken so far? A dozen?
How many?
A dozen?
No. Oh, I'd say just about 12.
About 12.
But I think I held the camera backwards.
Oh, you held the camera backwards?
Yeah.
You mean you were pointing at you instead of at what you were photographing?
Yeah.
Well, that's silly.
Yeah, right up me, I'm pointing all the time. Can anyone use 12 attractive snapshots of my stomach?
Now, don't tell me those are the only pictures you've got.
Well, that's all I guess. I just kept taking pot shots.
Yeah, as I see. Well, Mortimer, let me take a good picture of you. You know, I'd like one for myself.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, they say that I look pretty good in a picture.
Oh, you do look good in a picture, do you?
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah, I see.
All except around the face, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Mortimer, I don't think you're homely. I say, I don't think you're homely.
Go on. You got eyes, ain't you?
Yeah. I think you have an inferiority complex.
Well, thank you. I wish I knew something nice to say about you.
Well, it's all right. Mortimer, how can you be so stupid?
Well, I think my brains is out of focus.
I see. Sorry.
Anita Gordon, Charlie's 15-year-old singing discovery and 20th Century Fox starlet, sings The Wish That I Wish Tonight.
I'm wishing that I may, I'm wishing that I might have a wish that I wish tonight. I've told my lucky star the wish that I've made, and every time so far he's come to my aid. It may not be today, it may not be tonight, but I'm sure it will be all right. And maybe by tomorrow, if I wish with all my might, I might have the wish I wish tonight. I wish tonight. I've told my lucky star the wish that I've made, and every time so far he's come to my aid. It may not be today, it may not be tonight, but I'm sure it will be all right. And maybe by tomorrow, if I wish with all my might, I might have the wish I wish tonight.
Well, Charlie, I wonder where Fred Allen is. He should be here by now.
Where is that self-made has-been?
Oh, yeah. Now, please. I realize that you should have been rewarded for getting Alan a job with...
All right. And I'm going to sue him, too. I'm going to sue the man.
No, now, wait a minute. In any event, let's remember, in the eyes of some, he's still an important man.
Yes. Important. After all, who is Alan? Just a nasal twang suspended between two pleated pouches. Or...
Yes. Where is Charlie
McCarthy? Well, Fred Allen.
Thank you, Edgar. I'm here to talk to Charlie.
Well, it's too late, fossil face. you can tell it to the judge, that's
his name. Now, McCarthy. I came here to bury the hatchet. And I know approximately where I am going to bury it.
Fred, please, let us not quarrel.
You're right, Edgar. Between us who have worn the motley and flaunted the stock and buskin, there is, after all, an eternal bond of brotherhood.
That's all, brother. You sock him and I'll busk him. All right.
I can understand how you feel, Charlie. Perhaps in a fit of pique, temporary transient pique, I did act a trifle hasty. You must hate me.
I'll be glad to.
Now, you shouldn't talk that way, Charlie. You know you and I have something in common. We're both Irish.
If you're Irish, you must be shanty Irish.
Well, that's better than being a part of the shanty. Which part, it doesn't say here.
Stick with me. I'm practically alone out here.
Well, I would suggest enough of this sort of thing, Fred. Now, what is it that you want to see us about?
Well, I'd like to patch up our little misunderstanding, good. Edgar. I happen to be in a repentant mood. I wish to make amends. Although, mark you, I feel as though I owe Charlie nothing.
Yes, he owes me nothing. Did you hear that? Just listen to this letter I got from the park commissioner, Moses. Quote, it says here. Dear Mr. McCarthy, you did a big thing for me in getting Alan a job. With now no one steals the food I throw to the pigeons.
Well, that's fine. You can tell Mr. Moses now I won't have to glue on all of those feathers every time I go out to eat.
Now, Fred, can we get back to the reason for your visit here?
Well, this thing has upset me, Edgar. Last night, as I lay upon my pillow, I brushed aside a vagrant tear which hung pendant-like from my glistening orbs. I was thinking.
You were stinking.
No, I was wondering why two dear old friends, Edgar, should have to settle their differences in court.
Well, you should have thought of that before.
Edgar, I'm allergic to lawsuits. They're so unpleasant. They take up so much time.
And you always lose.
Now, instead of stooping so low as to pick up that joke, instead of stooping so low as to offer you anything as filthy and as debasing as money, I tell you what I'd like to do, Charlie. I'd like to have you appear in a little sketch on my program for which you will be handsomely rewarded. Now, in this play, Charlie, you are to be the star, the great lover.
See, that's what I get for being tight.
But tell me more about it. I'll listen.
Well, the play is called Weekend at Joe's Flophouse. And you play the part of a big lumber magnate, Fiorello Q. Splinterbottom III.
The third, no less.
The third. You're still in the money.
I suppose I don't appear until the very end of the last act or something like that.
No. Charlie, you come right on at the opening, and then you never leave the stage.
Yeah, well, now that's good. Now, that's all right. In fact, it's too good. I smell a rat here.
If you have the parts, let's read over the play.
Good, Edgar. Say, Ray, you're a sound man.
Well, thanks. I have been feeling rather chipper lately, you know.
I mean, you handle the sound effects in the play.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Now, as the curtain rises, we see that outside it is a beautiful summer afternoon, and a bumblebee is lazily flitting from flower to flower. The bee, Ray.
Oh, yes. Buzz, 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 and all for rot, you know.
A Bob White gives his call.
Robert White?
The cuckoo clock in the hall strikes 2:30.
Cuckoo.
I enter. I am a Chinese detective. I speak to the butler. Mr. Butler, your master, Mr. Splinterbottom, life in great danger. I have come here secretly to warn you.
Indeed, sir. Who should I say is calling?
I am Detective One Long Pan, famous Chinese G-man, Oriental Dick Tracy. Where is your master?
Oh, here he comes now, sir.
Ah, how blue the sky, how bright the sun. As I look beyond the daffodils, I see the shimmering heat over the rutabaga patch. Who got shot?
You did. Lie down, you're dead.
How do you like that? I didn't even finish my speech.
Oh, yes, you did.
Oh, no, I didn't. You shot me right in the middle of the rutabaga patch. Oh, no.
Now lie down and let rigor mortis set in. Don't hog it. Let another party in.
Do you mean I get killed this soon?
Yes. The rest of the action takes place while you lie on the floor.
It will over my dead body.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to move around. You're a corpse, so stop wiggling.
Yeah. Well, I wiggle till the sun goes down.
That is any snake's prerogative.
Just a moment. This isn't much of a part, Fred. Now, I thought Charlie was in all through the show and didn't leave the stage.
Well, he doesn't, Edgar. He stays there as a dead body.
Well, then, pardon me for objecting,
now,
Mr. Allen.
Now, just a minute. You stay out of this, Curly.
By that, I suppose you're referring to my hairline.
What hairline?
Well,
from the neck up, you are indecent.
Oh.
I have seen more fuzz on a choir boy's cheek. You know, there's a rumor around that your head was the inspiration for that song, One Meatball.
Yes. You're such a clever wit, Mr. Allen.
Yes. If all your jokes were laid end to end, they'd just lay there.
Now shut up, you, or I'll put a ring in your nose and use you for a hitching pole.
If I put a ring in your nose, you couldn't talk at all. One up.
I'm
upset now.
Now, I'm not afraid of you, McCarty. I'll scare you so stiff you can go on the air for a starch sponsor.
Alan, I warn you, you'll find Charlie quite a match for you.
Match?
Yes.
I have struck better matches on the seat of my old trousers.
That's a broad statement.
No end.
Your behavior is not a credit to the acting profession, Mr. Allen.
You mean that I am a ham?
No, I insult an innocent pig. No.
I told you to keep quiet or I'll put a rubber beret on your head and use you for a plunger.
Don't hold me back.
All right, let him go.
Listen, you broken.
No!
Let him go. I've got marine insurance. Let him go.
Charlie, regardless of what Mr. Allen says, remember, you must respect anyone who is older than you are.
I didn't know it applied to baboons, too.
Yes. Now, I resent your audacity, Whittling Bait. Are you trying to compare me to one of those baboons with a pink nose?
I don't care how you look at him.
One more crack like that, and I'll turn you upside down and use you for a slingshot. I was a fool for coming here.
Coming here had nothing to do with it. Where's my lawyer? Oh, my lawyer.
Oh, I'll get it.
Radio service.